This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Hi, it's Claire Kimball here, founder of The Squiz. One of the things that you've told us time and time again is that you appreciate how we do the news, but also appreciate the fun and the quirky bits and pieces too. So I wanted to let you know that we have a weekly newsletter called The Saturday Squiz. It's the week in news, but it also has recommendations of great recipes, books, TV shows, podcasts, and so much more. So grab your phone, go on, and head to thesquiz.com.au to sign up. We're the shortcut to the news and so much more. That link is also in your episode notes.
Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Wednesday the 20th of March. In your Squiz today, power prices begin to stabilise, China's foreign minister visits, Trump's money problem, and more royal rumours. This is your Squiz today. Siobhan, there was a lot of financial news around yesterday, and I think the biggest thing was that the Australian Energy Regulator released its proposed market prices for power in the next financial year. That obviously affects a lot of people. And there was some good news for those of us in Sydney and South Australia. Prices are tipped to go down.
Yeah, this sounds like it was designed specifically for us, but I promise it's not. So the regulator says that the, quote, majority of residential customers could have price reductions of between 0.4% to 7.1%. And in dollar terms, that could equate to about $57 a year, which might not sound like much overall, but it is a relief from the huge electricity price rises many of us have seen in recent years. And business owners will also get some relief. The regulator says, quote, the majority of small business customers could see reductions between 0.3 and 9.7%.
But it's not the same story, though, for people in regional New South Wales or southeast Queensland. They're facing increases of up to 2.7%, which could mean about $53 extra on their power bills each year. Tasmania, the ACT and Western Oz set their own default market offers. And we're also waiting to see what prices Victoria sets.
Yeah, but reports say that it's looking at a reduction of about 6.4%. And if you're wondering why the prices are a bit sort of topsy-turvy, the regulator, Claire Savage, says it's because the wholesale energy market, where retailers buy energy to sell to consumers, has stabilised from its, quote, extreme peaks in 2022. But she says they're still experiencing increasing prices in other parts of the system, and that's thanks to high interest rates and the slow crawl towards clean energy.
And the other thing to mention is that these are just proposed changes at the moment. We'll find out the regulator's final decision in May. But given energy prices have been one of the major drivers of inflation in Oz, reports say that the potential falls could be another push for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates this year. It, of course, gave its latest rate decision yesterday. It held the cash rate steady at 4.35% and said inflation continues to moderate but remains high. Something to keep an eye out for today is that China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi is in Canberra. He'll attend a series of meetings with our top political and business leaders. And it's notable, Siobhan, because it's the first time that we've hosted China's top diplomat since 2017.
This visit was announced just after Beijing indicated it would lift tariffs on Aussie wine. They were, of course, imposed at the height of the troubles between our governments in 2020. And this visit's got an official name. It's the Australia-China Foreign and Strategic Dialogue Talks. Mouthful. And Foreign Affairs Minister Penny Wong is going to lead them. Now, she says she looks forward to a, quote, frank exchange of views on a wide range of topics, including human rights, conflict prevention, and regional security.
Yeah, Wang will also meet with former PM Paul Keating in Sydney tomorrow. He is an outspoken opponent of the AUKUS Security Pact, which many speculate is to do with defending the Indo-Pacific region against China's advances. And the other thing is that Keating's also been critical of Wong and PM Anthony Albanese over their handling of China, something that reports say has frustrated the government. So something to keep an eye on there. Former US President Donald Trump's legal team says that his company, the Trump Organization, has been unable to find the $700 million that it needs to pay after it lost a New York civil fraud case.
So Squizzers might remember we spoke about this last month, Alice. Mm-hmm. That was when Trump, his two eldest sons and other Trump Organization executives were found guilty of fraud after lying about the value of the company's property portfolio. Now, they were ordered to pay up the full amount in cash or post a bond to continue their appeal, but so far they've been rejected by 30 insurance companies as they try to secure that bond.
And Trump isn't happy about that, it goes without saying. He says it's practically impossible to proceed. If they do fail to find the money, it could result in some of his real estate assets being seized and liquidated to pay for it. This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. The former Aussie swimming great and current top sports administrator, Kieran Perkins, is the latest person to speak out against the enhanced games. He's warned that someone will die, that's his quote, if it goes ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty strong language, isn't it, Alice? Now, for those who aren't familiar with the enhanced games, the tournament is the brainchild of an Aussie entrepreneur called Aaron D'Souza. He says it will test the limits of athletes using performance-enhancing drugs. Now, last month, Aussie triple Olympic medalist James Magnussen became the first person to pledge to compete at the 2025 event, saying he would, quote, juice to the gills, after organisers indicated anyone who breaks a world record would win $1 million.
Perkins isn't the only one who's critical of the event, though. Many other sporting experts have also spoken up, including Australian Olympic Committee Chief Matt Carroll. He says it's dangerous and irresponsible. And World Athletics President Sebastian Coe has also warned that anyone who competes will be excluded from official sport for a long time. Here we go again, Siobhan. A new video of Princess Kate that came out yesterday has done little to quell speculation surrounding her well-being. Keen observers have noted the apparent absence of any bodyguards in the footage, and the fact that other photos and videos didn't surface from the outing has once again raised questions over its legitimacy.
Yeah, this speculation just keeps on going, Alice. For anyone who hasn't seen it yet, the clip shows Kate out shopping with Prince William near Windsor Castle on the weekend, where it was said that she looked happy, relaxed, and healthy. Now, if it is legit, it would be the first time the 42-year-old has been filmed since Christmas Day because she's still on leave while recovering from abdominal surgery. But that wasn't the only new royal rumour this week, Alice.
Yeah, so Russian media has been criticised. It falsely reported that King Charles had died. Respectable outlets shared the story, stating that he'd passed away unexpectedly. But no one's fessed up to being behind the fake report. The royals really can't catch a break at the moment, though, Siobhan.
No, they definitely can't. And that's partly why News Club this week is about Kate Middleton, but not her whereabouts or any of the gossip, because there's plenty of that elsewhere. It's more about that digitally altered photo from last week and the subsequent kill notice and what it means for how we question the information we get from our institutions. And the club picks this week really lean into that aspect of the discussion, so it's definitely one to check out.
Yeah, as we've said each week, give it a listen by searching for News Club in your podcast app. Squiz the day, Siobhan. What are you highlighting today?
Well, we're a close-knit team here at Squiz HQ, and our friends working on Squiz Kids have a new episode of Squiz the World, looking at our nearest neighbour, Papua New Guinea. Now, it's a country that probably very few of us know much about, and yet there are lots of amazing things that we should know about it, including that it has more than 800 different languages. That's more than any other country in the world. And Squiz the World takes kids on the sort of virtual excursion to a different country every fortnight to really broaden their horizons and educate them about the world around them. So it's a great show for kids and adults.
Yeah, love that. To hear Squiz the World, search for Squiz Kids in your podcast app and hit follow. And that wraps us up today. We will be back with you tomorrow.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.